Hello, everybody, and welcome to Panel Talk. It's your host, Jordan, and
Woo! And
Hannah.
I'm Emily. Oh, all good.
And today we have a special guest with us, Noel McNeil.
Yay!
Hello, everyone.
So, how did you get into puppeteering?
Basic questions like, why did you choose this? Yes, of all the things you could be, why did you choose this? Actually, Jim Henson one time in an interview said, I can't imagine someone actually wanting to be a puppeteer, which for me and the millions of others who were inspired by him were like, wait a minute, what? But for me, it started when I was a kid, because when I was a kid, there were a lot more puppet shows on TV. There was Sherry Lewis, was a female puppeteer. There was Captain Kangaroo. There was Mr. Rogers. Mm-hmm. There was Paul Winchell, who's a ventriloquist. And he had a show called Winchell Mahoney Time with his with his puppets. By the way, Paul Winchell went on to become the voice of Tigger, the original Tigger.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, wow.
He invented the artificial heart. So puppetry can save lives.
Wow.
So, wait, yeah. No way. That's insane.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
So, then, so up to all these shows and also like marionettes, like the Bill Baird marionettes. If you've ever seen The Sound of Music when they're doing the puppet show, it was a Bill Baird marionettes, Bill and Cora Baird. So puppets had a certain look. Then when I was a kid, there was a special that was premiering, this brand new show coming on tomorrow morning. It was a half hour special, which I think is on YouTube if you check it out. Mm-hmm. And it was hosted by two puppets. And one had the shape of a football and the other one looked like a banana. Ernie and Bert. And it was this brand new show coming on tomorrow morning called Sesame Street. And I had never seen puppets like them before. And then when I saw Big Bird walk out and actually walk around, I was hooked because I've never seen a puppet that big and one that could actually walk around freely and not hide behind anything. So then I just like watched Sesame Street, even though I knew the alphabet and numbers, I still watched it because of Muppets. That's why we all did. And then in high school, that was the height of the Muppet Show. And I thought, okay, well, this man, Jim Henson, he's got these people doing it. Maybe I could do it too. Mm-hmm. So then I researched like how to become a puppeteer. And this was back in the 70s. So I had to like go to the library, which is like Barnes & Noble, but it's free. And I looked up and I found two colleges. And one was here in Brooklyn, New York. And it had, at that time, it was Pratt Institute. And at that time, it had a theater department. Within the theater department was a puppetry course. Oh. And so I applied and got in to Pratt. And the teacher of the puppetry course was the guy who designed and built Snuffy and Big Bird for Sesame Street.
Wow. No way.
So yeah. Cool.
Wow.
And his name was Kermit Love. And no, the frog was not named after him. It's just a weird coincidence. That
probably gets that question a lot.
Yeah, it's just like
amazing.
Also right now, the frog was not named after him. He had his own shop, so I like worked in his shop. And then for my last year, he offered me a job as his assistant
on
Sesame Street because his assistant quit, and his assistant was the wrangler. That's the person who takes care of the puppets to make sure all the puppets are like, you know, properly prepared for the scene, and particularly Big Bird, like putting Big Bird on and off. Carol Spinney. So right out of college, I went to Sesame Street and I learned all about TV production, sitting in on the production meetings and going through scripts and learning like props and all that and what's needed. So, and then I eventually became like an extra puppeteer, background puppeteer, an assist. So like right-handing and stuff like that. And then I went on to other shows after that, like pretty much shows your parents probably remember. So it was like The Great Space Coaster, Eureka's Castle, the third Ninja Turtle movie. And then
you were in the Ninja Turtle movie. I remember those.
That's
I love
so
those.
Cool.
Yes, the third one. The third one that took place in Japan, which was actually Oregon. And I was the puppeteer for Raphael. I wasn't inside Raphael. It takes about five people to do one turtle.
Wow.
Because there was the guy, the actor inside, Matt Hill, inside Raph. I was the puppeteer puppeteering remotely his facial features with this remote
control. Oh my
gosh.
That's so cool.
Then there was the martial artist, Stephen, who did all the fighting. Then there was the stunt double for because they rode horses and had to fall off of horses.
In the suit?
After all the principal photography's done, they take it back to Hollywood. And that's when the voice actor just sits there and dubs his voice over my voice. So it takes
that's
five people
to one
turtle.
Wow, that's amazing. I have to say, this is so cool. I've learned so much about puppetry in just like these first few minutes. It's like crazy. I never knew this before. That's really cool.
Yeah, don't go by, don't go by YouTube. There's some good stuff on YouTube. And then there's just stuff that you just don't, that's not the norm. Don't look at that stuff. It's like wiggling right. The puppet. It's like, this is not puppetry. No.
So I think that leads us into our next question. What is your favorite character that you've ever brought to life?
Ooh.
I'm proud to say my resume is most people's childhood memory at this point. So I've done a lot of characters, but I think my favorite has been Bear, because it was a show called Bear and the
Bear.
So it was Bear, because Bear was he was very special. He was a grown-up character, which is very rare. You really think about it, because so many characters like on Sesame Street, they're like little kids. And so Bear was an adult. So this way, when he would do appearances, he could go on like Hollywood Squares or the Wayne Brady Show.
Wow.
Or Donnie Marie or live with Regis and Kelly. And then,
that is so cool.
And then he could be like a little, you know, a little snarky. He could like, you know, have like, no, yeah. And yeah, it was fun. And also because of the fact that now so many of the kids who watched Bear have grown up and they like remember him like very fondly. So that's why I've gone on like TikTok and
nice
help people. So, because this particular year, I don't know if you noticed, this particular year has been a little rough on some people.
Yeah, so, yeah, I didn't want to know.
No, it's like just Google it, 2020, and just So some people have really appreciated this little bit of childhood coming back and just saying, it's fine, it's all good. You'll make it through this. You still smell good. Hang in there.
Yeah. So. We love that about the arts. We love
that. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of the show, is to encourage kids to that being in the arts is people may think of it as like a hobby and bring you down because of it. But it really, we're trying to show kids that it can be a career.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the great thing about Kids Comic Con, because I met Alex Simmons.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I've been involved with the Kids Comic Con and the different people he's helped me be introduced to.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, absolutely. Just trying to show that, you know, the arts is not a hobby. It can be an absolute career. And you can touch so many people with what you do, with your writing, with your painting, with your music, with your voice. It's like anything to be creative. It's an outlet, especially, again, with this year. You need some kind of outlet to help keep that spark inside of you going.
Yeah, so you can use it as creativity for it.
Yes, exactly. And so many people are actually kind of intimidated by the word like creativity. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I'm not creative. It's like, you are, but you just
have to let go of the structure.
Yeah, exactly. Because very often there is no structure. You just do it. Like,
go with the flow.
That's right. Look at Jackson Pollock, you know.
Yeah, right.
Lattered paint, but it turned out well.
Yeah.
Go for it. Try it. That's why I always tell people, just like, people ask, like, should I get into puppetry? It's like, sure, try it. It's like,
why not?
Yeah, why not? It's like, you know, if there's a, you know, theater production in your town, it's like maybe they need like puppets every now and then. Maybe there's a puppetry company in your town. You could go and like intern with them and like work with them. You could go on like, you know, YouTube and practice. What I do is called television puppetry.
Mm-hmm.
It's TV puppetry that Jim Henson like kind of perfected, because before that, there was a show I loved. It was called Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. And it was Bert Hillstrom and Fran Allison. And Bert Hillstrom was the main puppeteer, and he had like these puppets. And it was in this little like theater, this little proscenium, because that's how puppets were always performed. But Jim realized that this screen is the little theater. So you could just have the puppet.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, and you could just, normally we raise the cameras up and we stand there so that our arms are up in the air and you just see the puppet. And so he perfected that art. So And what's great is too is like you have to practice because it's like with Zoom in particular. It's like when I turn my hand this way, in real life, I'm looking to the left, but on camera, it looks like I'm looking towards the right. So you just get used to that everything is backwards.
Yep.
Yeah. That's it. And you just get used to it. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
So in Bear in the Big Blue House, it was, Bear is humongous. And how did you puppeteer Bear? It like looks so complex.
Bear was what was called, I nicknamed it the Big Bird technology because it was the same thing. First of all, I learned how to do that kind of puppetry from having worked with and trained with Carol Spinney, the original Big Bird. I also had the opportunity to actually meet and work with Jim Henson himself and Frank Oz. So all the principles of puppetry are down to this, like the puppetry you have all the time. It's like your hand. And you just like focus and lip sync, and you just take that basic principle and you apply it to like any puppet. Doesn't matter like how big or small. So the same thing was with Bear, especially the fact that Bear always looked into the camera and was always talking to you, because it wasn't a camera. It was like you came, you're visiting him, and he's talking directly to you when he's not sniffing. Wow. And so, but I couldn't see out of Bear. Mm-hmm. So what I had was what Carol had was a little TV set, like about that big, strapped to my chest with a microphone. And so I could see Bear's image. And so I could see what you saw on TV. But again, it was like backwards.
Yeah.
So I just knew that if I turned Bear this way, he was really looking that way. So on the first day, I remember getting there early to the set. And what I did was I went onto the set. And for the foyer in particular, that had like the staircase and all that, if you look back, there's like a rug in the foyer and these thresholds in the doorway. So this way, as I stepped, I could feel where I was. It was kind of like if you closed your eyes and suddenly were blind in your own house. And so just like getting used to like going up and then kind of counting how many steps I had to go back. And then because I could see, I could judge like where the banister was. So I could like stop and then I could just turn around and grab the railing and just go up the stairs. Or come down the stairs, just practicing, like closing my eyes and just coming down the stairs and like letting my hand glide along that little trim that was along there. So like,
yeah, because it was you that was in the big suit, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because
wow,
yeah, Bear's was called a walk around or a body puppet, one that you wear. So it was like from head to toe. Also, once I was inside, I couldn't actually let myself out.
Wait, so, what?
Yeah, it was like the way it was all like snapped and zippered in. I couldn't let myself out. So
it's like my worst nightmare.
So I worked it out with my wrangler, mm-hmm. is that in case anything happens, you just come get me. I'll put my hand on your shoulder and you just lead me out of the studio.
And everyone would be like, what is that? Is that a bear walking around?
Yeah, like on the airplane. In the unlikely event anything were to happen, this is it. Like, put your hand on the shoulder, walk out.
You're right.
And it's fine. And it's good. But then when I started doing appearances towards the last season, whenever Bear did an appearance, there was a second head that I would use. And the head had a camera in his left eye. It's like this tiny little, it's called a lipstick camera. And they put it right in there and they had like a matching glint. So this way, when I went on shows like Hollywood Squares, I could see, I had another monitor to see where I was going. So he could walk out, and then a second monitor to see the feed. So this way Bear could actually play to camera. So then I had two monitors to go back and forth to see what I would see what I was doing. So
that's remarkable. That must take like a crazy amount of coordination.
Yeah, it's like, it's just practice. That's it. It's just practice. You just get used. I've been doing this since 1982, so it's just second major for me.
Yeah, second major. That's great.
So I was looking at your show, the Show Me Show, and I wanted to ask you how you came up with that idea.
Yes.
Product placement. it was a show that I came up with, I guess, almost like over like 20 years ago for like just another project, but they turned it down. So I kept it. And then I started, over the years, I started getting fan email from the kids that grew up watching Bear, yeah. and then from the parents who watched Bear with their kids, thanking me for Bear and for the show, but particular parents of kids with autism and special needs. And I realized, and they still said that some of their kids who are now adults still watch the show on DVD, wow. what VHS tapes they still have left.
Wow.
And I realized there is no show like that anymore. Something that's just that soothing, that calming, that not too loud, not in your face. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, the networks aren't going to do it. So I'll try and do it myself. And it hit home for me because I had another idea for another show. And I went to one of the major kids networks here in the US. And I pitched this idea of some music show mm-hmm. and with puppets and a live performer. And I could just tell it was not going well. It was just, it was like watching the last 45 minutes of Titanic. It was just. And so at the end of it, I said to her, it's like, okay, what do you really want? And she said, Noel, I'll be honest. If you can come up with an inexpensive 3D, even 2D animated show, we're during the course of the adventure, the characters have to collect items that we can turn into merchandise for the kids to buy at home. Wow. That is what we want.
Of course.
Amazing.
Yes, because it's show business.
Yep.
Yep. People are so, especially parents are so shocked. Oh my God, no. It's like, it's a business.
Yeah. Yeah.
All about the money.
It's a business. It's like, you know, so it's just a way. So then that's when I took my idea for like the Show Me Show and just turned it into one for kids with autism and special needs, because just like any kid, they need to be shown like what to do and how to react. Mm-hmm. And so each show I would be the host. I'd have Phineas and Taylor and Nona, who are puppets, and there would be other puppets. And then the guest star would be a shape, a sound, a number, a number, a color, or an emotion.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. And eventually, I'd like to have it so that, because like Sesame Street, whenever you have like the number three, it's like a three with like these eyes on it or something like that. For the Show Me Show, I think it would be funny if you had guest stars, actual human guest stars, playing the guest star. So having human guest star be the number three, or
I love that.
A human guest star actually be the emotion of frustration or anxiety, and actually have them actually illustrated for the kids. So it'd be more fun. And it's a show, and be a guest star.
I like the way how you approached it, because I was listening to yesterday the song where you teach kids how to say hello and approach somebody. I thought it was such a way to do it, good way to do it, because it was a song and it was also like such a calm song, but it was just like showing them not to be afraid. And it was just like, I was like, because I worked with kids with special needs last year, so I understood this, and I was like, wow, that actually seems like something that could help.
Oh, thanks. I co-wrote it with Peter Lurie. Peter Lurie was the musical director for Bear, so he wrote theme song. He wrote so many of songs, especially like the Goodbye song. I like that's like his song. Peter also wrote the theme to the original Magic School Bus, the anime.
Oh, he did?
He wrote
that. Oh, my God.
So Peter Lurie is like in charge of like children's music. So it's like, that's the other half of your childhood, hearing these songs. Like, oh, it's like, yeah, that's Peter Lurie. He did that. So, and I set it up so that, and I got inspired because in the complex I live in, there's a mom and her son. Whenever we would see each other, I would say hi to her and I would say hi to him. And she would remind him, say hi to Noel. And then he would say it. So that inspired me, like, what do you do when you, you know, meet somebody? So it's like, the song is divided up into three situations, like one with your friend, one with somebody new. And then at the end, Phineas, my character, now that you know him, the next time you see him,
you'll say hi.
Say hi. So it's like catchy for me, trying to, and just have that sort of repetition in the refrain. So this way you just like you remember to say hi. So yeah, it was fun. It was fun to do. My son's in it. He's in the beginning. Oh, he plays.
Like, oh yeah, like, I saw that.
Right. He's older now. He's 15 going on 42. So, but again, he was more than willing to be in my videos, so it's fine.
That's good.
Yeah. Great. Kayla, Emily, do you guys have any questions?
I really do have a question that I'm just curious to know. So for the Show Me Show, you mentioned you have your puppet Phineas, your character Phineas. I'm just curious, like, how do you actually acquire the physical puppet? I'm just curious to know that, like, did you like design it and then have it, did you make it somehow? Or did you like, don't know anything about that process at all. I'm just curious to know.
Yeah, it's like being in puppets, it's not just being a puppeteer. Like I could maybe make a puppet. Occasionally I have, just out of fun, but I have friends who are professional puppet builders who do it much better than I do. So my friend, James Voitol Jr., who also works for the Jim Henson Company, he made Phineas for me. And so he did that. And he would be making the other puppets as well. He also made like this little version of Bear puppet that I use now. So it's a puppet of a puppet. Because James actually was one of the people who built the original Bear. He built one of Bear's heads. And so a friend of ours was getting married and he wanted wanted me to sing at the reception of one of the Bear songs. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, it's kind of weird just me standing up there, like just singing the song in like Bear's voice, even though it's voice. So I thought it'd be nicer to have like Bear. So I found this fur and I ordered it. I got it and I was like figuring out, okay, how do I do this? And I kept texting James. Mm-hmm. Like, how should I do this? How should I do that? So finally, after like 3 hours, he was like, no, just send me the fur. I'll do it. Just send me the fur. It's easier, and he did. So then the day of the wedding, he came by my room and like pulled it out. It's like, it was magnificent. Cause that's James. James just does 195% above and beyond. Awesome.
No matter that is so name. Cool.
Yeah, so, and he did this as a favor for me. So it's just like, it's free. So that's why, you know, when the Show Me Show happens, like he will be the, what's called the art director, you know, and he'll like, you know, he can make the puppets or he'll have like, you know, a puppet shop and he'll direct the people like, this is how it should look, this is how it should look, and working on stuff like that because he's that good. But yeah, there are other careers other than puppeteering. There's like puppet building. There's costumes. Like if you know how to make costumes, you know, sometimes you have to make them for like littler bodies. Yeah. And so, you know, like Miss Piggy's outfit is like extensive.
Wow, she's quite the fashionista.
She is still.
She's an icon for that, really.
She is. Yeah. I mean, there was like a calendar back in the 80s, and they had actual designers back then, like design and
I've seen that. Yeah,
for her, so like Halston and Calvin Klein, and yeah, so it's like Dior. It was like it's ridiculous, but she is this sort of icon. It's like exactly.
That's amazing. So I do just want to note real quick that that Zoom has given me a little time warning now, so we have a 9 minute now countdown. So just wanted to say I know it's been going really fast, you've been having a lot of fun, but we should, unfortunately we're gonna start wrapping it up.
Wait, did Emily did you have a question?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just sitting here in awe because, like, I you mentioned children who grew up with your show who are grown up now. I'm one of those people. It's absolutely splendid to meet you. Speaking as a kid who did grow up with, you know, Bear in the Big Blue House, you brought this like wonderful, warm paternal energy to it, and you know, it was very much appreciated by me and, you know, other children from my generation. So, you know, first of all, thank you for that. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think. What I'd really like to know, I understand that with Big Bird, you know, Carol Spinney, his technique for controlling both the mouth and the arm was that he would have like one hand up, and then the other arm would be like controlling like Big Bird's wing. Yeah. But for Bear, he was like very articulated. Like he would gesture with both of his arms while he spoke. So I'm curious to know how did you do that? Was there like a separate puppet where like somebody was controlling the mouth and you were the arms, or?
No, I was inside. By the way, I was the puppeteer and the voice. So I was inside doing both at the same time. Because a lot of people were like, are you the voice of Bear? It was like, yes. And did you puppeteer too? Yes, I did. So I was inside. And Bear, again, was like that Big Bird technology. Whereas like I had my hand up inside and there was like a little ring under his chin. And my left hand was in his left hand. And then the little string went up and down to his right hand, which was stuffed.
So gotcha.
I talked. And then for like the dancing, we had different length monos. So we would put a shorter one on. So this way, no matter what I did, it always moved up
right.
and down. But occasionally we would have what's called the wild arm. And so Bear would like, you know, pick up like, you know, this package and like look at it. And then he would bring it closer to you so you could see it. And that's when Jim Krupa, who was another puppeteer on the show, he had the wild arm on. So then he could actually come in and like point to it. And so this way Bear could actually look like he was like opening something like that. And then he would let go and then Bear would step back and it looked like he did it on his own. So it was like,
that must have been hilarious the first time that happened.
Oh yeah. People were just like, whoa.
Just somebody bringing out
it actually worked. That was great. Another trick was inspired by my wife's cat would come in and out like of the bedroom, but you never would see like the bed, like furniture. All you saw was like the doorknob up. So all of a sudden we just see like the door kind of like open and then like close, and then he would pop up. Or if you left, then you would just see the door kind of like open and like close, like because it was cracked open. So then I suggested that for Pip and Pop, the otters, like when they ducked down, like Bear to like pretend to watch them. And then there was one of the crew guys on the floor outside, just like with a stick that he would just like poke the door open, then had a little string and he would just pull the door closed. And Peter Lentz and Tyler Bunch with the voices, they would like chatter, chatter, chatter. And as soon as the door closed, they would stop.
That is probably like, I can't imagine how much fun you guys had on the show.
Oh yeah. We've worked on other shows and we decided ours is going to be fun because it's a puppet show. So, and after a while, after like second or third season, they were like, the crew was saying that, especially the camera guys were saying that so many people wanted to work on our show and like other shows. And it was like, and the camera guys were like, nope, I got that gig. Sorry.
Well, I just want to ask, I think just to wrap this up, you know, you've already given us so many inspiring stories. And it's just, for me personally, I found it super fascinating to just hear about all that can go into puppetry and the different careers there are in puppetry, the wrangler, you know, and the five different people it takes to operate one puppet. It's just like amazing. So you've already given us so many like inspiring little stories and tips and things. But I just want to ask, do you have anything else that you want to say to young creatives who want to pursue art as a career, or just who maybe want to create, who, you know, who haven't found an outlet for that yet, or just like any young creative?
Like, pretty much like try everything, because you've got this great advantage now with things like, you know, YouTube. You can like look up and just see like, well, what's it like to do this, or how can I maybe do that? And there's so many people with so many tutorials, and you have to pick and choose which one is right for you. But really, just try it. It's like, if you want to, and don't ever say, oh, I can't draw or I can't paint. It's like, yes, you can. Right now you're drawing in your style. Now, if you want to learn how to like kind of like do something else within your style, then that's what you can do. But you can draw.
Yeah.
You can paint. It's just your style. There's so many artists who have different, I mean, it's like, you know, Dr. Seuss. I mean, if you really look at some of his illustrations, he couldn't draw cats. He couldn't. Charles Schultz of Peanuts, he can draw a cat. That's why Snoopy's a dog. He couldn't draw a cat.
I never knew that.
Yeah. So it's like, and when he did, it's kind of like this weird little like boneless thing kind of lying there. So it's like, like all kinds of like artists out there from like, you know, comic books, graphic novels, there's all kinds of style. So you can draw and also like writing, just write poetry, write a short story. You know, there's so many exercises that you can do, you know, make your story almost like a letter to somebody else, anything, just really just do it. Just
exactly.
Yeah. Don't let anybody say you can't do that. The one person people never believe in, people will believe in whatever their parents say, their friends say, their teachers say, politicians, their religious leaders, they'll believe everybody else except themselves. Mm. The one person they'll never listen to is themselves.
Yeah.
So just give yourself a break and just try it. Because my mom believed you haven't failed if you've tried.
Nice. Well, thank you so much. That's great advice. I think that takes us to the end of our show now. So again, thank you so much.
Sure. Oh, and before we go, one person wanted to say bye to you guys. It's so good to see you.
Oh my goodness.
Hi, Bear. Oh, and by the way, you three still smell really good.
Oh, that was awesome. So good.
Yeah. Get a cry.
There we go. Even one more. Okay.
I think that was a great way to end off our show.
Yes.
All right, everybody. So stay tuned for the next episode.
Yes. Stay safe. Wear a mask.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Everyone. Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much.